Knowing when to observe Christmas is easy. It's on December 25th. No matter what day of the week December 25th falls on, that's the day we're celebrating Christmas. Observing Easter is not as simple. It floats. It can be anywhere from the latter part of March to the latter part of April. And if that isn't bad enough, different traditions observe it on different days. For example, Catholics and Protestants are observing today, and the Eastern Orthodox churches observe it next Sunday. So it gets very confusing. Why is it that we do that? How do they determine when we observe Easter? In an effort to give a simple explanation for how this happens, I decided to Google it. The first article I read said this, quote, "The date of Easter varies in a manner too complicated to summarize in a simple formula, and in most years differs between the usage of Western and Eastern Christianity," end of quote. Thank you very much. I knew that before I looked you up. That same article went on to try to explain. Now, I'm going to give you an explanation, and if you understand it, will you please see me after the service and explain it to me? The first thing you need to know is after the Council of Trent in 335 AD, the date was no longer connected to the Passover. In the New Testament, it's connected to the Passover, but not after 325. They decided that in principle, Easter fell on the Sunday following the full moon that followed the northern spring equinox, the so-called Paschal full moon. Easter, then, falls on the Sunday after the ecclesiastical full moon. Now, I don't understand that at all. And then later in the 16th century, the Western Church and the Eastern Church decided they were going to do this based on different calendars. So that's how we came to this position where we don't have Easter on the same day every year like we do Christmas. Now, I brought all that up because I want to ask a question, a very simple question. And the question is this: when should we observe Easter? That sounds like a strange question, doesn't it? Well, I think there's an answer, and the answer may surprise you. If you have a Bible, will you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where I'm going to begin reading one verse. Well, let me read two. Verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, 7. "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Now, based on verse 8 in particular, as well as some other verses in this passage and others, I'm going to make three suggestions as to when we should observe Easter. My first suggestion is this: we do it today, meaning the day that you hear the gospel. Look at verse 8. He says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead." Now, that's the definition of Easter if I've ever heard it. It's simply remembering that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Well, the first day you should do that is the day that you hear the gospel. He says in verse 8 that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, I need to take a minute and explain the gospel. I know most of you know this, but some perhaps don't. So let me take a minute and explain. Paul gives us the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. And this is what he says. It consists of two basic things: Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he arose from the dead according to the scripture. Now, to break that down in its simplest terms, it comes down to this. We are sinners. Now, I really don't have to labor that point, do I? Are we all agreed on that point? In simple terms, a crime is breaking the law of the government. A sin is breaking the law of God. So God has neatly summarized it for us in the Ten Commandments. You say, hey, I'm in pretty good shape. I never murdered anybody. And many, fewer and fewer could say, and I never committed adultery. And fewer could say, and I never stole anything. And fewer and fewer and fewer could say, I never lied. But you're going to get caught in there somewhere, right? Is there anybody listening to me that wouldn't say I haven't broken at least one of those four? And if by chance you missed the four because you're 3 years old, then let me suggest that the first one is you should have no other gods before him and he should be first in your life. And who of us can say that? So the point is we've all broken the law. And there's a penalty for that. The penalty is death. The next thing you need to know is what I said a minute ago. Jesus Christ died to pay for our sin so that we don't have to pay, so that we can live forever. Amen. I know that's Good Friday, and I know you know what Good Friday means. Jesus was crucified. But I'm still convinced most people in America and most people in the world do not understand that what Jesus Christ did on the cross on Good Friday was to pay for the sin of the world, and that nothing can be added to that. He paid the debt in full. So he died that we could have eternal life. He died so we can live forever with the Lord. Years ago, before there were blood banks, there was a young girl who had a need for a blood transfusion. They checked the family, and the one person in the family that could donate the blood was her small brother. So they asked him if he would be willing to give a blood transfusion. He immediately said yes. He realized that his sister would die if he didn't. So they put him on the table. They were about to take the blood from him. He was a little fearful. He looked at the nurse, and he said, "How soon will I die?" The little boy didn't understand, but he was willing to die so his sister could live. Jesus was not only willing, he did it. If you do not hear anything else I say today, hear this and hear it well. Everything it takes for you to get to heaven, Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross and arose from the dead. So you should remember the resurrection on the day you hear the good news of the gospel, that Jesus died for you and arose from the dead, because on that day you can have the gift of eternal life. Say, what do I have to do to get it? Well, it's really rather simple. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." All you have to do is trust Jesus Christ. He does everything else. You simply come before God and say, "Hey, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for the sin, that he arose from the dead. And I here and now trust Jesus Christ to get me to heaven." And in that moment, God gives you the gift of eternal life. So it's believing. It's by faith. As a matter of fact, Romans 10:9 says, "If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead." What you have to do to get to heaven is believe in Easter. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin and arose from the dead. And then trust him to get you there. Not anything you do, but what he did. Let's suppose you were given the tragic news by a doctor that you had a terminal disease. And then let's suppose the doctor said, "But it's of such a nature, this cancer, that we can cut it out with one simple operation. No chemotherapy, no radiation. We can get it. All you have to do is say yes. Let me ask you a question. Would you say yes? In a heartbeat. Well, let me explain something. We have a terminal disease. And the terminal disease is sin. And it's terminal. We die. But the great physician said, if you will let me operate, I'll get it in one swift operation. And that operation takes place when you say, yes, I trust Jesus Christ. But what you got to remember is that he died and he arose, and that takes care of your terminal illness. You say, yeah, but what about all those other religions? Maybe there's some truth in one of those. My answer is, it's time to remember Easter. Remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He arose from the dead. No other religious leader can say that. You say, well, perhaps there's some other way to get there. Maybe I can do something. What are you going to do to pay? It's an enormous debt. You can't pay it. That's the day you need to remember Easter. You need to remember that Jesus Christ died in your place and arose from the dead. And you need to trust him and not yourself. That's what Ephesians 2:8 says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. So let me ask you a real simple question. Have you done that? Have you taken care of this terminal illness? Have you prepared to die? It's amazing to me how many people haven't. In his book, God's Story, Your Story, Max Lucados tells of a fella named Carl, a Texan who loved the outdoors. In the late 70s, he moved to Alaska. He took a trucking job on the transatlantic pipeway, where he made good money, fast friends, and concocted a wild idea. At 35 years of age, Carl embarked on a five-month photographic expedition in the wild. Friends described how he seriously prepared for the quest. He devoted a year planning, detail checking. He solicited advice and purchased supplies. In March of 1981, he hired a bush pilot to drop him off in a remote lake near Colleen River, some 70 miles northeast of Fort Yukon. He took two rifles, a shotgun, 1,400 rounds of ammunition, pounds of provision, and 500 rounds of film. He set up his tent and set his season of isolation, blissfully unaware that he had overlooked a detail that would cost him his life. You see, Carl had made no arrangement to be picked up. His unbelievable blunder didn't even dawn on him until August, 5 months after his arrival. We know all of this because of a 100-page diary that the state trooper found when they found his body the following February. In an understatement the size of Mount McKinley, Carl wrote, quote, I think I should have used more foresight about arranging my departure. Yes. Hello. You think you should have given some more foresight in preparing for your departure? Yes. Well, let me tell you, you can do that right where you sit in the next 3 minutes. Ready? Say, what do I do? In your heart of hearts, you say, oh God, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sin and arose from the dead. And right this minute,
I trust Jesus Christ. Do you do that? Right in your heart, right now. There are two people in this congregation right now, and I know of others, who have said to me, they did this right in the middle of a sermon. Matter of fact, I have a way of saying to people, when did you first come to understand that Jesus Christ died for your sin and that takes care of the sin problem? And they've said to me, while listening to you preach. That's the day they got saved. So when do you observe the resurrection? The day you hear the gospel. The day you hear that Jesus died and arose from the dead and understand that that's all it takes to get to heaven. Matter of fact, verse 7 says, consider what I say and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. May the Lord open your mind so that you see that you're a sinner, that Christ died, and that all you have to do is trust Christ. Amen. So when should you observe Easter? Today, for eternal life. Yes. But I'd like to suggest a second time when you should observe Easter. I'd like to suggest we observe it every day. For an abundant life. Yes. In John 10, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, what does that look like? Well, that takes us to the details of this passage. Go back in verse 1. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I need to get a little technical for a second. The way this is translated, it's be strong as if you do it. In the Greek text, it's written in such a way as to say, be strengthened. Not that you do it, it's somebody does it to you. For you grammarians, that's the difference between the active and the passive voice, but forget that. The idea is you need to be strengthened by grace. Did you see that? Be strengthened in grace. More about that in a minute. Verse 2, and the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. The first thing you're to do is be strengthened. The second thing is you're to commit what I've taught you to some other people. Now, let me explain something. The context of this passage is that Paul is undergoing a very difficult day. This is a hard time for him. He's in jail. His life is at stake. As a matter of fact, he gets martyred after this. He says in chapter 1, except for one or two, all have deserted him. This is a tough time. So what do you do on a day when things are not going well, which is a lot of days? Have you figured that out yet? Life is tough. It's not a beach party. It's tough. That's why you need the grace of God. You need to be strengthened by the grace of God. And you need to be concerned about somebody else besides yourself. And not what verse 2 is saying? You be strengthened. One of the finest things I can tell you is when you're going through a tough time, go help somebody else. It's amazing how that works. I learned that by studying the book of James. The third thing he says in this passage is be strengthened, commit what you've learned to somebody else, and verse 3, endure hardness. It's a hard time. So what do? You endure. You don't cave in, you don't give up, and you don't run away. Amen. What do? You endure. You endure. You don't play victim. You become a victor. How? By being strengthened in the grace of God. That's how. By helping somebody else instead of moaning and groaning about you. Now he gives three illustrations of that. In verse 3, he says, as a good soldier. And then he says in verse 5, as an athlete. And he says in verse 6, as a farmer. They all have to go through discipline and hardness. And he's saying, look, endure just like a soldier.
just like an athlete and just like a farmer. Endure. And then he says, verse 7, now may the Lord give you some understanding as what I'm saying. Because what you need to do is remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead.
Yes.
How did that get in here? He's talking about enduring. I think you need to connect verse 1 with verse 8. You need to be strengthened by the grace of God. How does that happen? Remembering Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He's alive.
Amen.
You can go to him for grace.
Amen.
Which is power to do what God has told you to do. It's power to get through all of those hard times.
Amen.
I don't know what people do without the grace of God. It is beyond me. I'm not sure I could do it. I know this. I have an abundant life by doing it. Best illustration I know of this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You know this story. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. So he said, that's no problem. God removes thorns. So he goes to the Lord and he says, Lord, how about taking this thorn out? Just get rid of it. And the Lord says, no. Paul says, all right, I'll pray a second time. Lord, I got a little problem here, and apparently we got some communication problem. Would you take this thorn out? The Lord said, no. Paul was persistent. Went to the Lord a third time. Said, Lord, this thing hurts. Get it out of here. Matter of fact, he says in verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, no, I'm going to leave it. No, I'm going to leave it. But I'll tell you what I will do. My grace
Amen.
Is sufficient for you.
Yes. Amen.
Hear me very carefully. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you catch the connection between grace and strength?
Yes.
Did you catch that? My grace is sufficient. My strength, that's how you're made strong.
Yes.
What's the prerequisite? You got to be weak. In order to be forgiven, you got to be a sinner. In order to be made strong, you got to be weak. But you see, that's what fouls us all up. We think we can do it. We think I can make it through life on my own. I can do it. I can handle this. Chin up. That's the day you need to remember Easter. That's the day you need to observe Easter. Every day that you need grace to get you through it, which is every day. Every day. So I submit to you the time to observe Easter. It's not once a year. It's the day you hear the gospel for eternal life. And every day so you can experience the abundant life of knowing the strength of the Lord. This is fabulous stuff. Absolutely fabulous stuff. I sat at my desk looking at this, thinking, how do I illustrate this? And I thought, hello, why don't you just tell them how you do it? And I thought, I don't have that much time. I do this all the time. I do it every day, multiple times during the day. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Don't think I've ever said this publicly. Preparing sermons is difficult unless you're teaching a passage of Scripture. That's not always easy, but it's easier than this. I mean, if I just have this passage and all I'm going to do is explain these verses, I know exactly what to do. I go from verse 6 to verse 7 to verse 8 to verse 9. It's easy. But when you're going to bounce around like I'm doing today, That gets tough. I've preached something like this before, and so I had a lot of work done on it. And I sat down this week, and I said, all right, I'm gonna redo this. I spent all day and half the evening, no, all evening, working on this message. And it just wouldn't come together. And I do this all the time, by the way, all the time. And I said, Lord, help. It ain't working. Do I go preach something else? I thought this is what I should do. Was I wrong? I give up. I'm just going to go to bed. I went to bed. Slept like a baby. No, that's not true. I slept. Babies don't sleep. Woke up the next morning, and there it was, all in my head. Now, that was a gift of God. James says every good gift comes from above. Now, that passage is talking about salvation, but he says every. And so it dawned on me, oh, that's when you observe Easter. Today, for eternal life. Every day, for abundant life. All this is solidly biblical. And that's what I woke up with. Oh, yeah. This is not an annual holiday. It's remembering the Lord every day.
Amen.
Woo! That'll preach. I like that. Let's go. Then I had one other idea. And there's one other time you need to observe Easter. Today, weekly, and one other time. I'm sorry, today, daily, and one other time, weekly. Let me explain. In the Old Testament, they observed the seventh day. They called it Saturday. In the New Testament, we observe the first day called the Lord's Day. Now, why the switch? Why do we gather on the first day instead of the seventh day? And the answer is, the New Testament Christians did that. They gathered on the first day of the week, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Now, the real question is, why did they do that? Why should you gather once a week with God's people? Well, for one thing, we gather on Sunday because we're observing the resurrection. Yes. This is a weekly observance, not an annual observance. Yes. So every Sunday we gather together to remember He's alive. Yes. And we worship Him and serve Him.
Yes.
Now there's something else that's going on. What the church should do is teach. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's teaching. And in fellowship. So the way we do that in this church is we gather, we sing, I teach, and we eat together. Yes. I know of no other church where they eat together every Sunday morning after the service. Except, is it Valley Baptist? I think they do that after their service and a few others. There are some that do it. That's what we should do. But we should start with the teaching of the Word. As a matter of fact, if you're in 2 Timothy, flip the page from chapter 2 to chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, you need to hear the teaching of the Word so that you can be equipped for every good work. You need to hear the Word taught so that you can be a more fruitful Christian.
Yes.
It's unfortunate that there's a chapter break here. For he says in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word.
Yes.
That's the command to me. I am to take this inspired Word and preach it, teach it to you, so you can be more equipped
and more fruitful. The point being, we observe Easter, the resurrection, weekly, so that we can have a fruitful life. As we hear the Word of God, we grow. As we hear the Word of God, it's easier to trust Him. As we hear the Word of God and trust Him and His grace, we obey Him. And as we do all of that, we produce fruit. So, you want to know when to observe Easter? Every week. Every week. We meet here at 10:30, and we invite you to join us. We're doing what the Scripture says. We're observing Easter, and we're learning the Word. Amen. And we're fellowshipping with each other. Amen. And we love each other. And there are enough unlovely people around so that you learn to love the people that aren't lovely, right? Because somebody's going to rub your fur the wrong way. Get two people in a group, and that's liable to happen. Now, what amazes me as a pastor is all the excuses people give me for not going to church. It's amazing. I've heard them all over the years. But the best I've ever heard was an article printed in the Chicago Daily News a number of years ago. And it showed the absurdity by comparing all the excuses people give for not going to church by substituting the word movies. I'm out of the habit of going to movies. I've not been to the movies so long that if I went, the walls would fall in. There are too many hypocrites attending the movies. I don't like people that are in charge of the movies. I don't go to the movies because I went as a child. I don't go to the movies because the director never calls me. I don't go to the movies because the last time I went, no one spoke to me. Did you get the message? We need to gather together. Every week. I feel like putting the sign up on our marquee like one pastor did. Says, we are open between Easter and Christmas. Talked to an Episcopal rector this week. And he said, oh, in our church, we have CEO Christians. I said, what's that? He said, Christmas and Easter only, Christians. I used to pastor a church that had been pastored years ago by a fellow named Dr. Talbot. And I never met him. He died before I came along. But I understand he used to say every Easter, Merry Christmas! I won't see you till Christmas, so Merry Christmas. Now, all joking aside, folks, all joking aside, when do you observe the Lord's resurrection? Today, for eternal life. Daily, for the abundant life of living by His grace. And weekly, so you can learn the Word and have a fruitful life.
Amen.
So, I want to conclude by making one other observation. This is intensely personal. What is Easter? Remembering the resurrection, right? In that verse I started with, it says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead. In the Greek text, there's no that. It just says, remember Jesus Christ. It's not that I'm remembering a proposition or a doctrine. I'm remembering a person. I'm remembering a person. I remember Him today and trust Him for eternal life. I remember Him daily as I call upon Him for grace and strength to do what I have to do. I remember Him weekly when we gather together and study the Word together and love each other. It's a personal thing. It's like marriage. There's a day when it all starts, You say, I do.
And then there's the daily grind. But what's that about? A bunch of activities?
We'll meet for dinner every night at 6 o'clock. That's not a bad idea.
But that's not marriage. Marriage is a relationship.
Amen.
And the whole thing about Christianity is that it is a relationship. It is remembering the Lord.
So let me tell you, when your marriage is in trouble, it's when you forget your anniversary. Let me tell you, when your spiritual life is in trouble, when you forget the Lord. Daily or weekly or annually. So don't forget the Lord.
He's the most important thing in life. There's nothing more important. You can forget to put gas in your car and run out of gas in the Sepulveda Pass on the 405 freeway. That's serious.
This is much more serious.
You can forget your anniversary. Now, that's one of the most serious things I know. But this is much, much more serious. I don't know how you live life without him. It's the most important ingredient in life.
Now, I'm going to tell you a story. It's a true story. And I want you to know I got permission to tell it. You will understand that when I tell it. It has to do with my wife. When she was in the 8th grade, she took a class in home economics. They taught her how to bake cookies. So she went home and decided she was going to bake a batch of sugar cookies. She put all of the ingredients out on the counter. She mixed them all together. She put them in the oven on a platter. Now, as she was telling me this story, she said she was probably a little distracted because she was talking on the phone. At any rate, the cookies were done and she took them out. She's going to bite into her first cookie that she made. And it tasted horrible. She forgot to put in the sugar. Now let me explain. If you're going to make sugar cookies, you got to put in the sugar. Now my perpetually incurable, optimistic wife said, no problem. We'll just put the sugar on top. And then she said to me, in all honesty, it didn't work. So I'm not trying to get you to do something like put sugar on the top and go to church once a week. That's not it. The sugar has to be in the cookie. And that starts when you trust Jesus Christ. And then you learn to trust him every day for everything that goes on. That is the time to observe Easter. Let's pray. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you are going to heaven? If you don't, then I'm going to invite you to right this minute, trust Jesus Christ. Do what I suggested in the sermon. Just say, Lord, I admit I've sinned. Go ahead. You don't have to tell him all the sin. Just tell him you've sinned. And then say, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sin and arose from the dead. And I trust him. I trust him to get me to heaven. Not me, him. Not what I did, what he did. Now, if you did that in the service today, would you slip your hand up? Slip it up. All right? Anybody else? Good. Okay. If you have any questions about this, come talk to me. I'd be thrilled to talk to you. Father, thank you for giving us your Son, his death in our behalf, his resurrection in our behalf, and the awesome possibility of coming daily to Him for fellowship and strength and grace and power. What an awesome Savior. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.